News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
The US President Donald Trump has said that he is going to extend the ceasefire with Iran until talks between the two countries have progressed. This despite the threats that he had made that if they didn't come to talks, he would return to hostilities. Charlie Gammell is with us. He's a historian, former diplomat. He was on the Iran desk at the UK Foreign Office and has written and studied extensively on the Middle East in general and on Iran specifically. Charlie, can you explain the logic of that? Because it still continues to evade me. Donald Trump made threats about what would happen if Iran didn't come to talks and didn't accede to his demands. They did neither, and now he has extended the ceasefire.
Good morning, and great to be with you. So perhaps our biggest mistake here is putting too much credence, setting too much store by what Donald Trump actually says. I think we've seen this in the Ukraine war and the Gaza war. He comes out with these kind of slightly bombastic tweets saying that he's going to solve it in 24 hours. And actually, these conflicts have been going on for a long time. So this conflict between the Iranians and the Americans has essentially been going on since 1979. There's been decades of failed negotiations to try and reach a solution about Iran's role in the region, Iran's nuclear program. So this is a complicated, difficult series of problems to solve. And I do think on occasion Donald Trump overestimates his ability to solve these. And I think from the Iranian side, they saw that he blinked first. And I think that they did not believe his threats to wipe out the entirety of Iranian civilization. And therefore, they have come to the conclusion that Trump always chickens out. And that's why earlier on this week, they opened the Strait of Hormuz to try and force America's hand. So I think the Iranians seem to be getting the measure of Trump. And there's a degree to which Donald Trump is getting bored of this conflict and just wants it to be over.
Now, as you say, going back to even, George Bush talking about the axis of evil and Iran's membership in it, there was an element of that being a relatively cold conflict. We now have the acute problem of the Strait of Hormuz. That surely must incentivize Donald Trump to A, continue to pay some attention, and B, to seek a resolution with a greater urgency than other administrations might have had to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the big challenges here is that Iran has been unable historically to take the win when it comes to negotiations. At the start of the Iran-Iraq war in the 1980s, there was a point at which Iran could have taken a win, stopped the war on favorable terms, but they decided to push for greater gains through military means. And I think there's a danger here that Iran is unable to take what could be termed as a win, and Donald Trump is unable to take what could be termed as a relative loss.
Now, that does, however, mean that the talks at some point, we assume, must reconvene. And at the heart of those are a number of red line issues, particularly about Iran's nuclear program and whether or not it will be allowed to return them. What's your view on how much Iran is willing to capitulate on those red line issues?
So I think if we look at the last round of talks, one of the compromises that Iran offered was that they would locate and downblend the 400 kilograms of highly enriched uranium, which has been a big feature of the sort of talks post the 12-day war in the summer. So I imagine that Iran would, now that it's got this extraordinary leverage in the Straits of Hormuz, be willing to come to some kind of agreement about what it did with that 400 kilograms. Does it put it somewhere in a sealed location that IAEA weapons inspectors have access to? And that's the compromise I think Iran's willing to give. They're not willing to compromise their nuclear program. They're definitely not willing to compromise on their proxies. And I think they will hold fast to their rights as a signatory to the non-proliferation treaty, the NPT. So they will not bring enrichment below 3.67%.
Now, I mentioned your time on the Iran desk at the Foreign Office. Does that net position, if that's where the talks end up, if that's the end result, does that advance the position significantly from where they were before Israel and America attacked Iran?
So I think you have to look at this through a domestic lens. And I think a really important bit to keep in mind when we look at this is the protests of January. What a lot of people in Iran fear is that any deal that involves sanctions relief for the Islamic Republic will effectively strengthen the IRGC. Because we've seen since Ali Khamenei's death, a strengthening of power by the IRGC over the Islamic Republic. And any deal that involves sanctions relief and money going to these guys at the top of the Islamic Republic will entrench them and make them basically a regime for life, as it were, and that will frustrate many, many people in Iran who saw loved ones killed and who suffered in the January protests. So it could be a win on some level in terms of bringing a little bit of stability to the region, perhaps solving small s the nuclear issue. But for millions of Iranians who've suffered under the Islamic Republic for a long time, they would not see that as a win.
What does it mean in terms of likely seething resentment among the supporters of the regime in Iran? Because whether it be the Blitz in London or whether it be paramilitary activity around the world or subjugation of local populations, people don't tend to roll over and play dead when they have been attacked.
No, absolutely. And the Iranians, you know, the Islamic Republic, rather, love them or hate them, they have been bombed twice during negotiations. And there has been a degree of rally around the flag within the Islamic Republic at the moment, and even to the extent that the Iranian negotiator Golubov has been excoriated by the IRGC in Tehran for turning up to negotiations at all. There is a caucus in Iran at the moment that thinks there's just no point negotiating with these guys because they never keep their word, and actually also we are winning this war. Just the mere fact that we have survived American and Israeli bombs over the last however long, that just shows that we can win this war, because for us, survival is victory. So the fact of the negotiations themselves is not a sort of broadly accepted position from the hardliners in the Islamic Republic.
And lastly, Charlie, what about the capacity of America to do what it says is its fallback option, which is to militarily open the strait?
So the challenge there is that any attempt to militarily open the strait would bring a military response from the Islamic Republic. And there you just have an expansion of the conflict. And I think what those leaders who are meeting in Europe today to talk about military solutions to the Strait of Hormuz, none of them will want to get involved in a direct head-on-head confrontation with the Islamic Republic for very good reason. So America's ability to open the Strait of Hormuz militarily, I would say, is in question and not necessarily a done deal.
Charlie, thank you very much. Charlie Gammell, historian and former diplomat who was on the Iran desk at the UK Foreign Office.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.